Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning, our topic is, where is the power of God today? I'm going to be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This also, no. That in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, note the plural, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. As you know, 2 Timothy was written by the Apostle Paul to a young pastor. This particular letter is called one of the pastoral epistles. The pastoral epistles include 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. I would like for you to carefully note what Paul is saying to this. Indeed, the last days, or the eschaton, began in the first century A.D. We live in the last day, or the last days of this eon, or age, as denoted in the scripture. Paul wants this pastor to be aware of the conditions that would dominate the visible church in the last days. And I want to emphasize that Paul is speaking to Timothy about the conditions that would dominate the visible church in the last days. The word church is from the English word church is from the Greek word ekklesia, which means the called out one. Paul wants Timothy to know and to understand that there would be conditions in the last days of this age that would be very severe spiritually. And so Timothy had to understand the nature of what was going on, so that he might have the necessary understanding as to how to address such a dire situation. I want you to note that what Paul has written here is not the conditions that would go on in the world at large, but the conditions that would dominate the visible church. And when one reads this catalog, one is dumbfounded until one really looks deeply as to why Paul had to talk about these conditions and what brought about such a state of affairs. I want to go back to verse 1. Know this also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. This word, perilous, is very interesting because it means to reduce the strength thereof, thereby creating a very severe set of conditions. So it means to reduce the strength and thereby to create a very perilous set of conditions. Well, what is he talking about here? Well, as we go on through this catalog, one can see that there is an emphasis upon narcissistic behavior or severe narcissism, and with to the exclusion of an emphasis upon the Word of God. In other words, one does not see anything in this catalog about those who are interested in practical sanctification. Now, there is positional sanctification that the church collectively has in Christ. And I am talking about the redeemed ones, those whom God knows are indeed truly saved. On the other hand, in the visible church, there are religious persons who are not necessarily saved. And so these are the individuals who come into the visible assembly or into the visible church and bring with them the values of the cosmic system. Now, they may not do so immediately, but they may embed themselves within a particular community, and then after a period of time, reveal who they really are. And so I want you to note carefully what Paul is saying. For men shall be, verse 2, lovers of their own selves, with a primary emphasis upon ease and pleasant conditions or circumstances, or a concern for the self. Now, if you will remember, Jesus himself said that one must take up the cross and follow him. Paul said that the flesh, that is the sarx, that is the natural man, must be crucified or placed upon the cross because it is dominated by affections and lusts that are against the character of God. But if you note very carefully in Paul's catalog, this is not the case. And he says, first of all, that men will be lovers of themselves. So this is counter to the meaning of the cross. And yet, these individuals would be very prominent in the visible church. He goes on, covetous. Note that the interrelationship. These are not individual cells that Paul is talking about, as it were. He is talking about a systemic behavior that would dominate the body. Men shall be lovers of themselves. And then Paul moves in and says, joined to that, they would be covetous. Now, in the Ten Commandments, we are told, thou shalt not covet. The word covet there in Hebrew means to pant after. To pant after. And so the covetous individual is an idolatrous individual in that he desires that which is less than God. His thoughts, his actions, his desires are toward those things that are less or other than God. He does not have within his heart the words, I am crucified with Christ. That reality does not exist within the mentality of the idolatrous individual. The Old Testament prophets, for instance, Ezekiel speaks of idols of the heart. Idols of the heart. Idols that may not be visible on the outside, but through the behavior or the actions of the individual, one sees the intent and direction of the heart. So covetousness, boasters, which is a very interesting word. So it has to do here with one who boasts in those things that one does not necessarily possess. So I want you to get an understanding of the superficiality of character. And so therefore, these are individuals who are lacking in the graces of appropriate conduct as those who name the name of Jesus or Christ. They are proud, that is, this refers to one who is above others, and blasphemers are those who destroy the good name of another, or those who destroy the good name of others. It is very interesting in the Greek New Testament, because this word refers to, it means those who divide others, and for no apparent reason. Disobedient to parents, that is, they are hard, they are stubborn. And so persons who have no real understanding of an appropriate relationship with one's parents. Unthankful, self-explanatory. That is, not persons who are not appreciative of what has been given to them. Unappreciative persons. Unholy, a very interesting word. It means wicked, or one given to wicked deeds or actions. Without natural affection. And these words are closely tied to disobedient to parents. So I want you to note the familial breakdown, or the breakdown of what used to be called the nuclear family. And now we are told in this culture that any individual who come together and choose to call themselves a family are indeed a family. Well, we go back to the scripture in order to understand the appropriate understanding of what constitutes a family. And here we read, without natural affection, that is, no family love. I know that you have experienced people who today who are insensitive to family members, who are indifferent, who are callous, or who have callous hearts toward family members, with no true understanding of the deep nature and significance of family, or those who only use family to extort from the family what can be gained for themselves. And so we're back to the first words that Paul used, lovers of their own selves. In other words, the church in the latter days, the visible church, will be dominated by idolatry. So where is the power of God today? Where is the power of God in the visible church? Yes, we have a plethora of different approaches to ministries, books, shows, broadcasts. We have an incredible amount of tools available to us, but where resides the power of God? Paul goes on. He says they are without natural affection, and next they are truce breakers. There are people with whom one cannot reconcile. They are at war. Words literally mean at war. These are persons at war with themselves and therefore at war with others. They are truce breakers. False accusers, diabolos, false accusers, and then people who lie, given to lying. Now, note again, these are the persons who dominate the visible church, and one might react and say, well, that's not my experience. Well, we're talking about a universal experience within the visible church and what God has said through divine revelation. This is divine viewpoint thinking about human behavior. And so therefore truth, and confident that is powerless with no self-control, no self-control. It is incredible today that so many shattered lives come to or go to or attend local churches, who go there out of great need, very serious need. We have young people today who are in need of a very encouraging word, who are in need of God's word. And I've heard some very, and been privy to some very sad stories of young persons who have not found an answer to their situation and have taken their lives. We have in the local visible churches today persons who have severe addiction to pornography or even alcohol. It is very difficult to face these situations in an appropriate manner if we are not filled with the Spirit of God. The visible church does not function apart from the power of God. And I don't want to put forth a mere functional understanding of the church, but the church needs to be a place where the Spirit of God dominates, where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is liberty. Some studies have found today that the addiction of females to pornography almost or does rival that of men. And so we live in a culture in which behavior has become completely sexualized to the moral ruin of so very many. Hidden lusts, lusts that persons believe are deeply buried in the heart, will manifest themselves in inappropriate outward reaction. In Colossians 3, Paul uses the word pathos, which comes into the English as the word pathology. And then it is from that word that we understand the very destructive nature of behavior that is not given over to Christ. So the power of God is cut off in the lives of those who fail to crucify the flesh with its affections and lusts. Paul goes on. He said these persons are fierce, that is, savage, despisers of those that are good, traitors, that is, from the word, this word means, in verse 4, means surrender. They are traitors. They give up. They are heady, that is, they are rash, high-minded. The Greek word here symbolizes smoke, or this is a reference to pride. Lovers of pleasures, or fond of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And so the Greek word here for godliness is, or form of godliness, is morphosen, morphosen. And it has to do with the external form of the believer's life with no inner power. Morphosen means the mere appearance or mask of pious conduct. And so there is no reality, or the reality of a life that has been transformed by a kadosh or grace is not in evidence. We are the called out one. We have been adopted by God. God has given us the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry collectively, Abba, that is, Father. And we are heirs of God, and we are co-heirs of Christ. We have been made completely new, qualitatively new, because we are within the sphere of Christ. That alone is radical. That alone sets the believing one off with the understanding that he has been given a new nature. And Peter writes, not only have we been given a new nature individually, but Peter writes, we have been made partakers of the divine nature. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, John writes, "Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." And so our intrinsic values have to do with the person of Christ. We benefit from the finished work of Christ on the cross. And now we have been given by God a brand new life, a brand new beginning, our Genesis, our new story, because the old script, the old narratives have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Then God has given to us a new name. And we must answer that new name. Where is the power of God today? The power of God today is evident in a life that has been surrendered to God through Christ Jesus. And a life of practical sanctification in which the believing one understands he has been saved from the penalty of sin. And currently, he is being saved from the power of sin. And when the Jesus comes again, he shall be saved, that is, the believer shall be saved from the presence of sin. So penalty, power, and presence. There are three tenses, as it were, to our salvation. Now, Paul writes in the book of Romans that we are to walk in newness of life. That is where the power of God resides today, in the believer who understands this message. He is not the wounded healer. That is not the scriptural understanding of the believer. There is a very powerful view given in the scriptures about the believer and who he is, the type of life that must be lived before God if one names the name of the living Christ. In our next episode of Pneumaticos, we will look more into this topic about where is the power of God. I want us to understand that we must be that city set up on a hill. We must be that salt of the earth. We must be that light, that phos, which is the Greek word for light, phos, that the world so desperately needs. You and I can see that the world of politics have no real answer for our lives. But we pray for our leaders, that they might be directed of God. Now today, I'm going to ask you to understand the time that we do live in the last day of this eon, of this age, and that God requires of us a radical commitment to his word. Beloved, have a wonderful day today, and I will see you next time on Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. Take care.